Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We're starting a few minutes late, but we've got a great show tonight. We've got Tolek, and he's an Earth Human Representative of the Andromeda Council, an intergalactic, interstellar, and interdimensional governance and development body aligned with the benevolent star systems and planets of sentient, intelligent life for worlds in both the Milky Way and Andromeda galaxies. In deep space, this governance body is known by its ambassadors and diplomats as the Galactic Council. He's been given the name Tolek as an Earth-based public persona name by five people with whom he regularly communicates who are stationed on the primary Andromeda Council biosphere. And Tolek is currently authorizing his first book, We Are Not Alone, Communication with Higher Dimensional Life, a Heart-Centered Experience. Without any further ado, I want to welcome Tolek on the show. Tolek, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, great to hear from you again. It's been a while.
James, yeah, it's summer, August of 2015. Rob Potter's Mount Shasta conference.
Yeah, Shasta.
In terms of the last time we actually spent some time together and had a couple of conversations. Yeah, yeah, and we had you and I shared two or three conversations in terms of interviews a couple of years before that. But life is busy.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I am so busy right now. It's just off the scale. We're preparing, you know, after all the winter storm damage here to open up Eseti again, and it's just a mess. But, you know, a lot of roof repair, a lot of trees downed, you know, things like that. We had our whole greenhouse got basically taken out. We had to put that in, but it's all coming together.
Anyway,
I know you've got all kinds of conferences coming up. We'll talk about that later.
Sure.
And you've got your new book coming out. And I know there's a lot of things. I can just take it away and go wherever you want to take us. I'd love to cover.
Freeform. Freeform.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I think some of the insights right now is the Andromeda Council. Maybe just talk a little bit about who they are for the first time listeners. And what their purpose is here on the Earth.
Oh, sure. Nobody's asked me that question in a long time, so thank you. They've been around. I think the best place to start with any topic is always the beginning, especially in a show like this. So they are, as you mentioned, a interstellar, interdimensional, intergalactic governance and development body. They combined years and years, like thousands and thousands of years ago, there was a senior council called the Arcturian Council, and they had like seven or eight senior members with a bunch of their own home star systems and worlds. And there was another smaller council, and they kept running into each other out in deep space, and they found that their mores, their values, were very, very closely aligned. So they came together and formed this, what's known in deep space as the Galactic Council. Here on planet Earth, it's the Andromeda Council, because it logistically has star systems and home worlds of planets that are in the Milky Way galaxy, of star systems and planets that are located, as we would see it from this planet, from in the Andromeda constellation. And then it also has some members as well from star systems and planets in the actual Andromeda galaxy. And the people, there are probably only a handful of planets that are still three-dimensional organic races like we are, you know, made of flesh, blood, bones, muscles, tissue, sinew. But most of them are 4D, 5D, 6D, 7D, all the way up to 9D. I can speak pretty intelligently about the people that are mid to upper level 4D and 5D in terms of what their capabilities and their unique gifts are. I don't have any real intelligence about people that are 6D and above, but my own people are pretty amazing, and I'll never forget one of my earliest experiences when I was being given a tour of the primary Andromeda Council biosphere. The vice chairwoman, Tanya, and Azar, who is the chief medical officer of six of the, hospital ships, medical biospheres, they said, we have to reacclimate this guy and get him used to meeting all of these different beings. So apparently I sailed through meeting 10 different species of people that were, for the most part, either organic and or higher dimensional, but they were humanoid looking. Mm-hmm. Taller, shorter, fatter, wider, skinnier, different colors, including some people with little pointed ears and fur on them. You know, some cat people that I met. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the 11th, they brought me to the door of the 11th being. So I'd gotten through 1 through 10 pretty easily. And the 11th being, I looked, they said, are you ready? And I said, sure, you want to introduce me to this gentleman? And sure. They said, well, just like every other time, we're going to have you look through this viewing space so you can see him, and then we'll introduce you. Well, long story short, this guy looked like a 1/3 version. If you're familiar with the Star Wars mythology, this guy looked like a 1/3 version of Jabba the Hutt. He looked, he looked just like Jabba the Hutt. I went, bah, slimy worm guy, get me out of here. Bang, I was back down on Earth. So I talked to them later. I'm like, and they were laughing. They were like, silly human. And I said, why did you guys do that to me? They said, well, actually, you did really, really good. You got that far. You got through the first 10 races without a blip. Yeah. And we wanted to see what your tolerance would be like, because sometime in what you consider the near future, you're going to be interacting with a lot of these races, and we need to get you used to doing this on an ongoing basis. And I'm like, you too. I said, I'm going to get you back.
Interesting.
Formally, this group, the Galactic Council, the Andromeda Council, is responsible, very much like the United Nations is supposed to be a diplomatic organization to facilitate cooperation between countries on this planet. In a similar manner, the Galactic Council is supposed to be, if you will, a diplomatic governing and first contact organization, and it has rules and guidelines and morals, especially for first contact and considering any potential new entry into that council, because they cover vast areas of space in terms of who they're responsible for. And it's 140 star systems, 300 some odd planets and counting, and there are 12 senior star systems, and there are 12 senior homeworlds. They have ambassadors, they have diplomats, and the primary Andromeda Council biosphere has living quarters for 3D all the way through 9D. I don't exactly know how they do it, but they do it. Mm-hmm. And it's very much like a deep space United Nations. Mm-hmm. That's the best summary I can give you.
Yeah, it's good to know. There seems to be a lot of different, when people say Andromedans, there seems to be a lot of different groups from the Andromedans. Everything from little short blue people to taller blue-skinned people to 8 to 10 foot tall magnetized light beings. How many different groups are coming from that area, from that Andromedan Council, or from that section?
So for some clarification, because I've had a few people write to me and they're like, oh, you're meeting with the Andromedans. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, Andromedans. Well, hang on. There is an Andromeda galaxy, and it has it has its own star systems, and it has its own planets and multiple races of people. As an example, Mark Kimmel, whom you know, his soul, his spirit essence that animates this body on this planet today, he's originally from a star system and a homeworld in the Andromeda Galaxy. Now, there are other beings that are from that area of space called the Andromeda Constellation. They're planets and homeworlds from that area of space that we call the Andromeda Constellation. So the chairman of the Andromeda Council is from the star system Zenite, homeworld Tishte. And he has that light blue skin. He has a sort of like a mane of hair and a very close cropped beard. Very noble looking, very, very calm gentleman. I've met so many people that it all depends on which people you're asking about. As an example, there are people that are going to be coming here that are aligned Andromeda Council members, people from the planet Ventra, Nicotea, Teleca, and Retol. And they range from having porcelain, porcelain white skin to light creamy mocha colored skin. The people from Teleca, they look like really pale green, really, really pale green Vulcans from the mythical Star Trek universe. They look like Vulcans. They have just like Spock ears.
Yeah.
So yeah, these people really exist. It's kind of neat. We're gonna get to meet some of them in physicality down here when a whole bunch of changes start happening.
Yeah, there's quite a few that I've seen. A lot of these really interesting people, and there's also the inner Earth people, which there's like, I've connected with six dimensional elves in there, and things like that. But everything from fourth to fifth to sixth, and a lot of people have a hard time with that with the inner Earth. And I said, well, there's an opening right here that goes into the mountain, but it's a multi-dimensional experience. It's not just one dimension going on there. And we've had actually filmed with infrared vision the mountain lighting up and a giant pyramid appearing on the mountain, and it was in probably in the 4D. There's a whole nother civilization up there in 4D, and I'm sure there's 5, 6, 7, 8, who knows up what dimension it goes up to there. But we've had a lot of contact with them from different dimensions coming out of the portal there that opens up when the ships come out of the mountain.
Well, I have some photos that I'll show you sometime. My I call her an adopted sister because we're this close. On planet Earth, we've been friends since 1995, and her name is Adana. The reason for the story is that she has in her possession at least 5 stacks of original Polaroids, 55 or 60 Polaroids stacked in each of these stacks. And I've got at least 3 or 4 of those images that I have in my possession. And one of them is a photo of Shiprock in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And essentially, because she too has great telepathic capabilities, she would hear this communication and they would say, whether it's 2 or 3 in the afternoon or 9 at night, point your camera over here and take a picture. So it's broad daylight in Shiprock and blue sky everywhere. And she's got what looks like a cathedral staircase. Of course, it's higher dimensional, but there's this glowing white cathedral type staircase going right up the side of Shiprock Mountain.
Wow.
That's higher dimensional. Got it in the form of a Polaroid, and it's amazing to see. She's given me some other images where what people would call a light ship or a higher dimensional UFO, because they travel the way that they do, direction isn't relevant. So that there's a photo of what is a normally oriented horizontal UFO, and it's standing on end, up and down, right in front of Bell Rock, over in Sedona. So she's got hundreds of these photos. It's amazing.
I think I might have met this woman. I'm not sure. I think I might have, but she showed me some photos like that, and I just went, my jaw dropped. I went, oh, my God. It's like, And massive ships, you know, light ships that pretty undeniable. You know, it's not a lens flare or anything else. But
No, it's not. You'll get to see her again in Sedona when you come to talk for that one, because she'll be there.
Great.
So, yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out now that, I mean, some of it's lens flare, a lot of it, but some of it's undeniable when you see the shapes of these light ships. And we took some, when I was in Hawaii, we got some amazing photographs of one of looked like a giant, an Andromedan ship, I think it was, because the guy I was there with, Rama, his guide is Andromedan. And this massive light ship appeared right above his head, freaked him out, you know, when I showed him the photograph. But, you know, it's a giant triangle ship, and it's just pure energy. You know, it's multicolored. It's a beautiful ship, you know, and it definitely wasn't a lens flare. But
did it appear to be comprised out of cloud, you know, cloud vapor?
No, it was at a waterfall up in the bamboo forest up there. We're at this waterfall and we're on these rocks, and we took a picture of them up on the rocks. And so it was right above the waterfall. I mean, we're talking, part of it was in the forest, you know, it was part of it was that low. I mean, it was like 20 feet above us.
Wow.
yeah. you could see, you know, it was going through the trees, not, you know, the trees, you know, it was a whole different frequency, I guess, and went right through the trees. But pretty amazing.
The conference that we spoke at, Rob Potter's, in 2015, right? I got together with some people after, and you know, a couple months later, and there was this one young woman. She said, I want to show you these photos from this conference we were at. I said, okay. And she had on her smartphone probably, I don't know, at least 10 or 15 photos of some of the people who were at that conference and who had some campfires down below the hall we were speaking. The next level of land down.
Mm-hmm.
And she's showing me these photos of people being together and just being happy and singing and sharing stories and stuff. And there are orbs everywhere.
Yeah, I remember those. I was
saturated.
Yeah, we had a bunch of ships fly over too while we were out there. We had quite a few ships fly over. And
oh, no kidding.
Got them on film. Yeah, got some.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But the time before that, we had a conference. It was pretty amazing. We had ships, big ships, come in really low, big light ships. And there's a lot of skeptical people there. And when these ships came in, they just dropped their jaw and they said, okay. You know, that's right. that's not conventional. You know,
I had at least three or four women who attended my Tucson conference, specifically midday Saturday and then again midday Sunday. Like, hey, Tolik, yes, there's a really big ship over this hotel. I'm like, yes, I know. My people have decided to show up and pay attention. They're like, no, this thing's like 1,200 feet in diameter. Like, yeah, it's okay. It's, you know, they're really curious as to what we're doing here, and they want to pay attention. And there were, as you know, women out of all of us that speak, some of the women are just incredibly, incredibly sensitive and very gifted. Mm-hmm. And there were quite a few of them that could even sense some of the higher dimensional people that were in the hall where the speakers were, where all the people were attending, and they could sense them and see them.
Yeah. I would tell him, yeah, that's the shuttle. So you should see the mothership.
There you go. Yeah.
But that's true. I mean, some of the little shuttles are bigger than football fields, and you know, and they go and park in these other ships. So you can imagine how big those ships are. But
I really wasn't surprised, because at Tucson for years, since I had lived there. I don't live there now, but I lived there for 21 plus years. And during my time in Tucson, I came to learn that energetically, it was a very special place. And quite a few people that had spent time in Tucson and in Sedona said, you know, the energy here is almost equal to what there is in Sedona. You just have to know where to go. And I met this one young woman who she actually spoke at my conference. I hadn't seen her in years, and I invited her to come. Her name is Atreya. And she said, do you realize that there is an etheric retreat at about 10,000 feet right over this city? And a lot of beings like to come here because of the energy. And this retreat is about 10 miles in diameter. So it covers a pretty big space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no surprise now when I think about all of my experiences in Tucson, why I was there and what I had to go through in order to. The idea is that the fact that the energy in Tucson is really, really strong, and the fact that there are four benevolent ET underground bases in the mountains in that area as well. So it's quite a busy place.
Yeah, you had some kind of experience at 10,000 feet in Colorado as well.
Yeah, that's that slide I sent to you. I thought I did, yeah. Don Daniels, who partners with Sierra Neblina, Galactic University.
Mm-hmm.
I was guest of Don's, and he had me speak at a couple of places out in Colorado last summer. And on Saturday afternoon, he said, I want to go out. I want to go out. And he said, we've got this special spot, and we're going to probably pull together 5 to 7 people, maybe more. And there's a spot in Conifer that we like to go to. It's at about 10,000 feet. And we just, it's Colorado, maybe July or August, but it's Colorado, and we bring our jackets and some fold-up chairs, and we just sit around and talk. He said, but we want to have some contact. So we got up there. There were four of us, myself and Don and a couple of friends of his. And so we were having conversation, and somewhere around 10:30 or quarter of 11, he was like, Toluk, let's meditate. Let's meditate. I really wanted to have a connection and have contact. I'm like, Don, point your camera over here, will you? He said, we don't need to meditate. So that image that you see was taken at 10:40 at night. We happened to be oriented, pointing. We were looking south towards Pike's Peak. And over my right shoulder is the photograph that you see. And this sort of 7 to 8 foot big globe in the middle is a gentleman who is from Arcturus. And he's mm-hmm. sort of a freelance ambassador. He travels on behalf of the Arcturian people. And the sort of the quarter circle on the left-hand side, about 4.5 to 5 feet, and then the bigger one in the upper right-hand corner, these are guys that have followed him. Wherever this guy goes for, if you will, interdimensional business, diplomatic business, here he was just listening to our conversation. I said, what are these guys about? He said, I don't know. Wherever I go, they always show up. Kind of literally what he told me and showed me. Now, beyond that, have you looked at this photo image and seen the imagery of these little guys? There's these, if you look at sort of dead center and just to the left, there's like that one big pervasive goldenrod plant that sticks out. Just to the left of that goldenrod plant, there's like two little guys with two little heads, and there's a very distinct, what people would typically call a gray figure, maybe at about two heads taller, and he's pretty distinct. I'm not so sure about the two little guys, but that one gentleman, I can see an outline of his nose, his eyes, his mouth. There's some other stuff going on here. There are other things going on in this image as well, but he comes through pretty clear.
Yeah,
and that happens actually in a number of Adonis photos. These guys come through, and one of the reasons is the fact that it's easy for them to, this is not the right word, but infiltrate, or it really is not the right word. It's easier for them, more than anybody else, to show up, if you will, in our vibration on this world, in the higher vibratory points, because their vibratory rate is about as close as possible that they can get to 3D. That's why we see them easier than anybody else.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean the other beings aren't around. It just means they have the lowest vibratory rate that we can almost access.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there seems to be so many different groups here right now. It's just crazy. And hopefully, you know, they can turn this planet around. I wonder if you've heard about, have they talked to you about, I know Corey Good and these other guys talk about this big event happening. Or the shift or something like that. Do they have something like that? Have they been talking about some event like that coming up?
Yeah, the short version of that answer is, and my contacts have told me a number of times, a number of ways, and I know I've been talking about this for years. Essentially, right now we are in a transition period where our planet, as part of our solar system, is traveling through an area of space with higher frequency, higher temperatures, higher magnetics. Everything is at a higher frequency and higher vibratory rate. It's because of this area of space that we're traveling into and that we're traveling through that at some point, this solar system and this planet, and of course other solar systems and other planets, are going to get bumped up today. And right now, I'm not going to talk about consciousness. I'm just talking about physicality. Right now, this is physically a predominantly 3D organic world. At some moment, after all of these transitionary events that have happened, and there are still a bunch of things that haven't happened yet. There are more earthquakes that'll happen, more volcanoes, and there will be lands rising and seas rising and falling, and there will be a lot of things happening. But essentially, at some moment in our planet's history, there will be a specific moment where, whether you call it the blink of an eye or the snap of a finger, that everything, and there's, you know, you and I could talk about this for close to 3 or 4 hours about the details, but essentially everything will change from being organic to becoming fine, crystalline based fine essence matter. So that this is what spirit energy is made of. What I have learned is that everything from 4D on up is all composed of spirit light energy. Is that consistent with some of the things that you've learned as well?
Yeah, they basically say that vibrational continuum, you know, it starts out in consciousness and then it becomes light and then energy and then mass. And so we're basically frozen thought, you know, or frozen light. Everybody has different level that they have an understanding, but ultimately everything begins in consciousness. And basically when you start unfreezing the light that we're made of, you know, we're going to become less dense physical and more, probably more crystalline or more.
That's correct.
Malleable, you know, much more malleable. We have a lot more control over our environment as well and our bodies.
Yeah, we'll be literally less dense and consciously less dense.
Yeah. I've been waiting for that one.
Yeah.
You know what I've seen? It's to me, it's just amazing. I'm sure you've seen this, but with these new energies coming in, you know, it's bringing people's stuff up. I mean, it's happening everywhere. And there's a lot of things being acted out, both individually and collectively. And I've never, to me, some of it is just so obvious. But I see people hang on, like, with this death grip to their egos and their programs and not realizing that everything they've been taught on this planet that has created their personality self is almost everything is false,
right.
You know? And even their desires and wants and shoulds and what they should, how they should be, how they should act, who they should be with, all of these things, these programs, and people are just hanging on to them with a death grip, and you tell them, you know, this isn't who you are. This was given to you. This is one big psyops experiment down here. And
with multiple layers.
Yeah, yeah.
Multiple parts of your personality.
Oh, God, man. It's just like, and then you can take them so far, and then you get the backlash. And then they just, you know, wig on you. And because, you know, it's not easy. You got to let, you know, letting go of your personality, the death of your own ego, is probably one of the most dreadful things you can ever face, you know. And, you know, but luckily I did it with a drowning, you know, I did it the easy way. But, you know, it's rough, you know, but, you know, eventually people are going to have to let go and come to the realization that, you know, everything, you know, the whole, the things that are taught, you know, the religions, the archaeology, the science, you know, I can go on and on. And especially when you get into what's happening in the political venue and things like that, that's just one big lie on top of another.
And that's that, what's going on right now, the, if you will, the changeover from the years of, if you will, political orientation with how Obama and his handlers handle things is radically different than how this new gentleman, Trump, and his people are handling things. And people are like, they're twitching and they're squirming and they're screaming because they're uncomfortable and they haven't come to understand yet that this man has been appointed to instigate and to evoke change. He's a change agent. Now, I'm not saying that he's perfect. None of us here on this planet are perfect. And so he's certainly not perfect, but he's a human who's been appointed to evoke change and instigate change on this planet and to shake things up and to a great degree, from what I understand, dismantle much of the mess of this political system that we have in this country. And people, it's making people uncomfortable.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And people
uncomfortable.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, you can be totally enslaved and everything, but it's known and it's your comfort zone. And people fear the unknown, you know, and change. They resist change and fear the unknown. That's just what people do. Yeah. And he represents all of that. You know, nobody knows what he's going to do next, you know. And
kind of like people, a wild card.
Yeah, people don't want to change, you know. And I tell people, too, I said, you know, he is going to do some great things, but there's some things I don't agree about. And I'll be upfront. There's some things that I think there's a better way of doing things, but you know, I don't have the whole story. You never do. You're never going to get it from mainstream news. You're not going to get it from the alphabet agencies. You know, they twist and turn everything. You know, how are you going to ever know the facts unless you're physically there observing and involved? And even then, you may not be seeing what's really going on. So it's, I always tell people, you know, they get into these big discussions. I say, well, how do you know? How do you know that's what really happened? You know, and they just,
well, because this guy on ABC said, or NBC or CBS, really,
or CNN, you know,
here's right, or Fox, or any of them.
I've never seen people lie so much in all my life on that channel, but anyway, you know, but I just go, how do you know anything? I said, you're viewing everything from your comfort zone, which is your ego, your personality self, which was formed by what? By your environment and the experiences and the input that's been given to you. And all of that is false. You know, it's like, oh God. And people just come unglued. And I go, even Buddha said that, you know, you have to look at everything like with a fresh mind, or you'll never understand, you know, what it is. Because if you take your belief systems and your programs and everything into it, That's you're not going to be able to see what, you know, what's really going on. But
I if I may share a story with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I remember it was 1996. So 3 years after this gentleman, who's the commander of the Primary Andromeda Council Biosphere, in 93, he, I joined him. He didn't take me. I joined him on a trip back in time from what was then the contemporary 1993 in August, over the course of a week and a half, he brought me back in time in what you and I would look like as a ship from contemporary 1993 Tucson to rural Kentucky, Western Virginia, 1840s, three times. Now, I don't need to focus on the details of the story, but the story is important because 3 years later, 3 years after that, my life completely unraveled. Now, it was a good thing, but that event so changed the core essence of who I was at that moment in my life. And here's why this story is relevant. I remember standing in a room that I was given to stay at somebody's home. Some guys, you know, some friends were renting a house. They gave me a room to stay in. I'd given up my corporate job, my suit, coat, and tie. I had been in the healthcare software industry for 17 years by then. And I was standing in front of the mirror with like 4 or 5 days growth in my shorts. That's all I had on. And I had sold a bunch of things. There were a few things in storage. I had almost no money. Everything that had represented my life was gone. And I looked in the mirror and I went, "You're okay. You're going to be all right." And this too, you know, this time of difficulty shall pass. But I could look at myself and go, "You're all right. You know, you've had the big job, the expense account, the cars, the money, all that stuff. You were happy." And, you know, that's a circle, right? You come down to the other end of the circle. You're standing there in your shorts. You don't have anything. There's no money. There's a few things in storage. The job's gone. The status is all gone. And you're okay. You're happy. It's going to be all right. And so I recognize at that moment that even at that young age in my mid-30s, I recognize that the trappings and the dressings of life weren't important to my happiness. My internal happiness was about my own emotional stability and growth and what I was learning at that time. I mean, my life was just sort of exponentially expanding. And it was just really eye-opening to go, I'm going to be all right. I'll be okay.
Yeah. And it's kind of shocking.
Humbling.
To see.
It's humbling to go through that. And just for the record, that wasn't even my dark night of the soul. That happened later in like 99, 2000.
I think until somebody's gone through that, you know, or dark night of the soul or a near death experience or something like that. It's so hard to function, I mean, and even communicate or even be with somebody unless they've gone through that. Because if you've gone through it and you see everything for what it is and you see everything for how shallow and superficial it all is and how none of it's, you know, real, and then you're hanging out with somebody that's coming out of social consciousness that has, you know, pretty centered in their own personality and their own ego or whatever else. It's tough and it's really rough. And even though you really care for somebody, you love somebody, it's like you try to communicate your wisdom or your, you know, wisdom gained through experience, and to say, you know, none of this other stuff is important. This is all small stuff. You know, you don't sweat the small stuff. It's like, but to them, it's very important and it's a big issue for them, you know. And I remember a couple of times when I did, even after the NDE, I got caught up in kind of a bad relationship and things weren't going right and I didn't have any money and I was kind of going, where am I going to, you know, what am I going to do next? And I was sitting there and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, I was pulled out of my body and I looked back at the earth and it was like a pinhead. And I had this massive being next to me and he said, you know, this is who you are and there's your problems back there, you know. And so, you know, big reality check, you know, and when I came back, all my problems were gone, you know, basically. And I was so blissed out and I had changed so much that even the girl I was dating, she goes, "What's wrong with you? You're different. And she was trying to get me to get upset. You know, she goes, "Well, I met this guy in this band. And I think I'm going to date this guy in the band." I go, "As you wish, you know, if that's what makes you happy, you know, I think that's what you should do. And And she kept just doing all this stuff and just, and all the games, you know, she pulled it all out. And I just, I was sitting there and I said, you know, I think it's time to take you home right now. And it had no effect on me whatsoever, you know, and then everything changed after that. But it's really interesting when you're coming from that position or that space, you know, in dealing with this world. And I think what's going to happen, a lot of these energies coming in are like many shifts in that direction, like a lot of many near-death experiences. Mm. But I think people are going to have a series of ego deaths until the big shift when the whole social consciousness or that grid gets taken down. I don't know if you've heard anything like that, but I've heard the grid, whatever you want to call it, the draconian grid, the archon grid, or whatever, is being just ripped apart right now, and there's a whole 5D grid coming in to take its place.
Well, the Alpha Draconis, otherwise known as reptilians, that have been abusing, manipulating, running this world, and of course they've always had their quote unquote powers that be cabal guys that are sort of their lieutenants getting things done down here. They've been running things for thousands and thousands of years. And to make a long story short, all of their underground bases have been destroyed, shuttered, filled in. There were literally tens of thousands of reptilians on this planet living and working. There are now about 120. Yeah. 70 of them are, you know, pure, what's that? The higher, I'm not saying this right, they have higher ranking. So pure higher ranking.
The winged ones?
Guys. Yes. Yeah. And the others are galactic human DNA and reptilian blend that you wouldn't know it looking at them because they look human, but they're decided. But in any case, that's why it's so messy right now, because there's a huge vacuum. All the guys that used to run things are gone, and they've been gone off this planet since about mid-2012. So that there's, as you know, there's been a lot of change since 2012, and there will continue to be.
Well, I know. A while back, we got down to about 3%. Like, there's 3% left cleanup, but you still got the. You know, I guess they're taking out some of the negative, the tall grays, so some of the Orion groups, and
that's right.
We're based here, and a few others, and then they have a lot of 4D stuff going on, and a lot of those guys that got taken out, their spirits went into the, we're still bugging people even though they're physically removed from the planet. I know there's a lot of them wandering around. We were doing cleanup constantly in the other. On the other levels, you know, clearing these things up. But what I see now is, like you're saying, the cabal or their puppets, you know, are floundered right now because their whole control system, you might say, has been taken away.
It's been taken away, right. And all of their superstructure, you know, the infrastructure that supports, it's the whole thing's gone. And so there's huge gaps. And of course, there's infighting.
Oh, yeah. And the grid, you know, the grid that's maintained their organizations and everything is gone. And so they can't sustain themselves. They're not frequency specific to where the Earth's evolving to. And, you know, I keep seeing, you know, the last holdouts here, they keep trying.
Well, they figure
things, you know, like
program used to work. We can keep this program running.
I know.
They'll keep trying.
Like the McCains and the Pelosi's, and not to get, you know, like Skeletor's wife up there. She's quite a character. I just watch these guys and I go, I can't believe these guys. First of all, I can't believe everybody is not seeing through these people for what they are. And second of all, when I watch them up there on the film or on camera, you know, when they do their news things, these guys are idiots. I mean, they're blithering idiots. It's just like, I can't even believe. I go, how did that guy ever get in the position he's in? I mean, how he had to be installed, you know, because there's no way he could have done it on his own cunning or wisdom. I mean, these guys aren't even clever anymore. I mean, never wise. They were clever. They were never wise. But that cleverness came from other levels, you know, other other darker forces. But now that those have been removed, they're just floundering.
I really wish, you know, from a global perspective, and I don't mean this literally, but I think you'll get what I'm about to say. I really wish that for some extended period of time, all of the televisions would turn off.
Yeah.
And therefore, all of the people who have been sitting in front of TV, whether it's Fox or MSNBC, you know, pick your poison, who've been self-programming themselves for year after year. I've got an 86-year-old mother, and she thinks that she can't live without CBS.
Oh, yeah.
Because her world was, this is Walter Cronkite, good night. That was her heyday. And every night, she and Dad turned on CBS, and it's like, the government would never lie to us. That's the mindset, you know?
And my grandmother has an autographed picture of Walter Cronkite, you know, but she was sharp. I mean, she was sharp as a tack, and she saw through everything.
And I'm not trying to badmouth Walter Cronkite as a person. What I am trying to say is that there is such diversive and subversive programming coming out of mainstream television. And most people, this planet of 7 billion, maybe 8 billion now, the greater percentage of them are clueless as to the fact that they're getting programmed.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, they used to have investigative journalists. And now the only investigative journalism is on the internet, basically, and the alternative media. And they've proved it over and over again. The headlines is the same. Even the whole storyline is the same. And they just have a bunch of talking heads telling the same story on all the different channels. And it's just social programming. It's a big psyops, you know, experiment.
Yeah. From different perspectives, maybe the same topic, but they'll just.
Yeah. Even they say the same words. I mean, the same headline is exactly the same, you know, and they all say it a little different. I mean, there's news clips on YouTube and things where you can watch it, you know, where they have compilations of 10 different, newscasters all saying the exact same story. And, you know, it's just they just read whatever's on the screen. And so you have to go, well, who's writing this stuff on the screen? You know, well, the controllers are, you know, the handlers are doing that.
Yes. But they feed them the stories from the direction that they want spun.
Now, there's other things going on, which is that's a whole show in itself. But I mean, they have these Gwen towers and the cell towers and all those things, which are actually geared for the same purposes, you know, for mind control and things like that. But from what I understand, these higher dimensional beings coming in, and it looks like it's coming pretty soon, is they're going to come in. I think they're going to first show up over in the Middle East, and then they're going to just go across the globe and shut down these frequencies that they're using, you know, to suppress people's consciousness. Things like they're going to shut down that whole program. And people are going to see these massive, massive ships, you know. That would
be fantastic. I know that the people from the Procyon star system, Planet Cana, took out a whole bunch of reptilian transponders that were basically sending out signals to the Middle East, to China, to all sorts of different parts of the world. Well, when they took out these bases, they found all these multiple directional transponders that were sending out these low frequency, agitating, purposeful confusion. You know, they get these, they get them just sort of dialed in right, just to mess with people. So there are a bunch of them that were taken out, and that doesn't mean they're all gone, but.
People don't realize just through frequency, they can put people in a comatose state or take them all the way up to self-mutilation, you know, and excite them into anger and everything else. But, you know, they have those bandwidths and they can actually send those bandwidths out. And we've had that, you know, we've had psychotronic attacks here and HARP and major chemtrail stuff lately. They just took out my roosters again. I've already got new ones, but it's weird. These things are gender specific too. I mean, you go outside and whatever they're spraying is some kind of a heavy duty nerve agent, but it takes out the male, and it's designed to take the males out is what it is. I can go into it, but I had a person do this you know, they used a Skio and they used other things. I had other biofeedback devices being used, and they're going, my God, you know, you've got, they're spraying Roundup right now over your head, you know.
Oh, jeez.
You know, glyphosate. That's
bad.
Oh, yeah. And that totally shuts down the male. That takes the males out. And then they had phosgene or something like that. Like all these biological weapons are showing up in the chemtrails. And, you know, Rh factors, red blood cells, you name it, not to mention the aluminum, barium, and
right.
strontium, you know, all heavy metals that are cumulative. But
I was living very quietly about back in 2013-14 for a brief period of time in the Chihuahua Desert. Mm-hmm. I mean, out there, they call that area the sort of like the last frontier. Yeah. And we were getting sprayed down there. Now out there, there's more cattle than there are people. God's honest truth.
Yeah.
And a buddy of mine retired. He had his little garden in the backyard and he came outside one day after a rainstorm. Interestingly enough, they seem to spray the skies right before a storm system moves
in.
Yeah,
they do that. They weaponize the storms.
And he walked outside and he's got his, you know, his rain barrel. And he's like, why is there like this white oily substance? He's like, I live like way out in bum nowhere. There shouldn't be anything coming out of the sky. So he took all Vila's stuff, sent it to somebody at a lab at UT, University of Texas at Austin. Guy that he knew, a friend of his, he goes, where did this come from? He said, it was in my rain barrel in the backyard. Just do me a favor, analyze it, and tell me what's in it. Came back loaded with heavy metals, strontium, barium, rhodium, aluminum, and a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah.
He's like, what? He's like, there shouldn't be anything out here. There's no industry anywhere.
Yeah. And also, too, you know, they found out that actually they said they're trying to stop global warming, but now they're finding out the chemtrails are actually exacerbating the global warming, and they're creating the droughts, and the, you know, the aluminum blocks the uptake of nutrients in the plants and trees and things. So now the forests are dying and becoming firecrackers, because when you put heavy metals on the leaves in the forest and you get a forest fire, they just burst into flames and burn much hotter. You know, the firefighters here in the area, we had some fires here, and they said they've never seen a forest go up that fast and that volatile. They almost lost a few people because they didn't gear for that. But yeah, it's insane right now, the stuff that they're doing. I'm really hoping it's going to come to an end pretty soon. I was wondering if they've given you any times or dates that they're going to finally put an end to this depopulation program that they've got going.
It's this is a philosophical question, really, and the question is about, to what degree can higher dimensional people that care about us step in? And they've consistently, at least my people consistently, told me, it's like, listen, you have humans attacking humans, whether they're Lebanese or Syrian or Assyrian or Russian or Chinese or French or German, mm-hmm. we're not going to get involved. No, this is your planet. If you're going to kill each other, as sad as that is, we're not going to get involved. Now, if, and they, as you know, they've stepped in this area I'm about to address.
Yeah.
At least over the past 12 years or so that I can account for, when idiot rogue generals, et cetera, people in charge who pull the trigger, push the button, and said, oh, we're going to bomb. And they sent off nuclear missiles. Those nuclear missiles have been made to disappear. They've been made to malfunction. They've been disarmed. They've fallen into the ocean. They've disappeared, for that matter.
Yeah.
They won't allow large-scale nuclear wars to happen on this planet. Mm-hmm. The repercussions of that are too great across not only this dimension in this place, but through other dimensions, so that they won't allow it.
Yeah.
But humans against humans, if we're stupid enough to continue to act the way that we've been acting, that's our business, and they're not gonna stop it.
Yeah. Well, one thing I know is, like, a lot of the CIA, you know, the deep state is part of the global elite, and the global elite were actually totally manipulated by the reptilians and, you know, the other darker forces. And so it does seem like like, yeah, humans are doing that against humans, but the sponsorship of that was actually coming from the draconians and the reptilians and other beings like that. So I've always felt like, okay, so let's weed that out.
That's right. And I know that.
They do have people on the inside that are working, you know, the white hats and things like that, right, that are trying to stop this stuff. But God, at what point do they just not like go in there and just start taking names, you know, and practicing unconditional lead? Because these guys are killing the planet. I mean, they're at war against creation and humanity. They don't care. And I think something needs to be done. Well, my idea is just beam them all up, you know, and maybe say, whoops, teleporter accident, we left in space, you know, or something.
That's good.
But
I can tell you this, when the transformational shift of this world happens, when the literal dimensional shift of this world happens, there will come a moment when all of these really bad people that you're talking about, whether they're blended humans and reptilians, the few pure reptilians, or the really, really bad people that are still left here on Earth, their low vibratory rate will not be able to survive the dimensional shift of this world. They'll simply dissipate, and they'll show up on some other 3D world. They're not going to survive.
Yeah, I was told the same thing. A lot of them are just going to drop. I mean, their bodies are going to fail. Everything's going to fail on them.
That's right.
But
they're not going to transform.
Yeah.
Not on this planet. Because the initial higher dimensional vibratory rate will be like 4.5, 4.6, those higher numbers. And the reptilians are like 4.0, 4.1, 4.2.
Yeah, very low.
Highest. Yeah, they're at the
really low. I know they won't be able to incarnate. They won't even be able to come here because it's going to be outside of their range.
That's right.
Hey, unfortunately, Tolok, we've hit the end of the hour, and I know we could go. I have to get you back on the show again because I know we just barely covered what's happening. But what's the best way that people get a hold of you? I know you've got these upcoming conferences and things like that. How can people find out about that?
They can learn about any of the information that I learned from the Andromeda Council people at andromedacouncil.com. There is a sister website called transformationalshiftevents.com. And on the conferences page, you can learn about the two conferences in Australia that I'm producing. And there's an event in Singapore and an event in Shanghai that I'll be doing in the autumn. On the other page is USA special events. And from June through November, I'll be putting on events all throughout the American West and Southwest. Some one day, some 2 day. And James, I'll see it, a couple of them.
So. Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah, you got to hook up with Peter Slattery and Sol Reed over there in Australia. They're amazing. They've got the best footage. They're one of the most high integrity contactees over there. So
they're wonderful people. I've asked them a couple of times, and they've essentially said, "Our lives are so nuts, so busy right now. They got like all these things going on in their lives," and they said, "Thank you." I said, "Well, there are VIP comp passes. If you have some free time, come on over. If you can't speak at the conference, just come over and visit for a few minutes and say hi."
Yeah, I'll talk to him about it and see if I can arrange something. But anyway, we've got to go. I got my 30-second warning, so we've got to head out. But I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and we'll do it again soon.
James, as always, a pleasure. Good catching up with you.
All right, take care.
Thanks,
guys. All right, it's James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio and the BBS Network. Stay tuned, watch the skies, and stay in the heart. Things are shifting fast. Have a good evening.